It is hard to grow up in the U.S. and never hear the name of Jesus Christ. But over there, it happens all the time. I have so many conversations with people that come in, and the only reason that they have heard the gospel is because either them or a family member has been sick and ended up in our hospital.
Speaking of going, you're listening to Speaking of Going, a podcast about life, friendship, our hope, and how Christ's love compels us to go to forgotten communities around the globe. And because we've experienced Christ's love, we cannot help but speak about what we have seen and heard. Hello, you're listening to Speaking of Going. My name is Ben, or Ban, depending on where you live in this country, depending on how you pronounce your S and I's and E's. I formerly was reluctant to do cross-cultural work around the world, reluctant to go, reluctant to really think about it. And as of about 7 years ago, I had a pretty big heart change. So now I'm not so reluctant. And I got my good friend, Randy, here.
Yep. And I'm Randy, or Randall, depending on where you're from in this world. And I'm a former atheist, now serving as a leader of a little band of cross-cultural workers called SIM USA. So, Ben, when you were at my house a few weeks ago, You remember we had that log that we split in half?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've been working on that pole. I got myself an ads. I don't. Most people, maybe like me, didn't know what an ads was. But it's kind of like a hatchet that's turned sideways with a cup.
Yeah, it is strange. I'd never heard of it. Yeah. I thought you were saying a cuss word, but you weren't.
Anyway, this bowl, I was so close to being done with it. It was I was really enjoying it. And then I took one more whack at it with my hatchet.
Wait, this is the one I was helping you with, right?
Yeah, that's right.
The very same.
The very same one.
Okay. The one I put time and energy into.
I was so close to being done with it. It was a thing of beauty. And then I whacked it once more with my hatchet.
Cracked it.
And one of the sides just cracked.
Oh.
And then I said, how unfortunate.
Yeah. That was a lot of work.
Yeah. I'm in the process of trying to glue it back together now.
How many hours do you think you invested into that?
You know, I probably have spent $400.
Okay.
And 50 hours. I bet I've spent $400 and 50 hours on that.
But that tool, I mean, specifically the axe, I don't know about the ads. I don't know how much you spent on that. But, you know, the axe, man, that's a hand-me-down. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, generations.
It's so fun to be out there like a lumberjack, just creating, you know, using my creative energy while I whack things. It's great fun.
Yeah.
It was fun to see your son, Jack. Have your son, Jack, out there whacking away at it. That was, anyway, I'm gluing the bowl back together. I'm still hopeful. I'm still hopeful that with some glue, I can get that sucker put back together. But I had to start on my next one this weekend.
It's going to be a wall ornament. I'll just be honest. That thing's going to hang on the wall.
I think what I'm going to do is bring it in my office here as a fruit bowl.
Yeah, you could tell people it's from some sort of like ancient civilization around the world, and so it's just had some wear and tear over the centuries. And
that's a good idea. You know, I remember the dude that used to sit in this desk that I'm at. His name is Bruce Johnson. I used to somehow imagine that his whole life was consumed with SIM stuff. Like, like when I pictured him, it just would never occur to me that he mows grass or he whacks stumps or whatever else. You know, I was kind of like, you know, whether it's Joe Biden, you know?
Yeah, presidents don't do that.
You just don't imagine.
In reality, he doesn't mow grass. We both know that. But
at some point, he probably did. We don't know.
Oh, okay, he might. I doubt it.
But the reality is you can only do, they're all people.
That's true. They are people. They have pens that run out of ink, you know.
They run
out of, you know, toilet paper here and there, I'm sure. Stuff like that. They're real people.
One of the things that I observed, missionaries, it's like they always imagine they should work harder.
Yeah.
They always imagine they should do more with less.
Yeah, it's like the weight of what they're doing, the goals or just the vision they have It's like it's on their shoulders.
Can you remember a time when you felt like, man, I'm only working 14 hours a day, 7 days a week. I need to do more.
Yeah.
Tell me about it. Tell me when that happened.
I've always felt like I need to work more. I don't know if it's just realizing that the people I see, actually one time in particular, I realized that I need to work harder is that, it was a time when I had my phone filled up with contacts on my favorites list. And these were all new people that I wanted to see and visit and hang out with and have coffee with. And one more person wanted to hang out with me and have coffee. And I couldn't do it. And I was like, this is a problem with me. Like, I genuinely felt like, well, this is my problem. I'm not doing enough. Something's not right. There's some sort of thing that's off here. They don't know Jesus. And I need to do something.
I'm pointing at you now. You can see me pointing at you in the screen
there. I see that.
I remember you and your friends, you came to my city, mm-hmm. and you made this friend who happened to speak the local language, mm-hmm. and you came to me and you said, hey, here's a really special situation. This dude mm-hmm. wants to be your friend. And mm-hmm. I remember thinking to myself, yeah, and him and 100,000, there's 100,000 other people in this city that want to be my friends too. It's like, I have no lack of people that want to be my friend.
Yeah, so you never feel like you're working hard enough. I mean, it's not that, it's a strange feeling. It's like there's just an overwhelming amount of work and somebody's got to do it. And so you feel the pressure, I guess.
It kind of reminds me, Heather was talking about, when she came, when she first started speaking, it had this mm-hmm. This feeling like, whoa, we can't go off this call because people need to know much opportunity there is.
We were ready to pray and finish the previous podcast because we had hit our time limit. And she was like, I can't get off. I gotta give you this. I gotta tell you this. I've just got to get this off my chest kind of thing. And so she did.
there is so much to do. This one woman who was in a motorcycle accident, mm-hmm. there are another dozen of them that people could be entering, emptying their urine bag and bringing them food and serving these people so that people don't have to live and die without hearing about Jesus. That was kind of the summary of what she said.
Yeah, the work, it just seems endless.
Yeah, sitting in my seat here, mm-hmm. I can tell you, like our normal way of doing things around the globe is that you have this team of people from Zimbabwe and Peru and Costa Rica and all over the place, and they form a team, and that team's goal is to respond to need in the local area mm-hmm. so that they can proclaim the gospel, and when people believe, it allows them to equip the church. So that's sort of the global formula of how it works. Mm-hmm. It's not just going out to plant a little America. This is a global team. And sitting in my seat, I have 500 opportunities for Americans where these teams are saying, we would love to have an American come and join our team as part of reaching the least reached. 500 of those opportunities.
500. Wow. Realistically, how long would that normally take to fill all of those opportunities on a normal year?
So we have averaged around 45 to 50 per year over the last decade.
Okay.
And so if you do the math.
I can't, but you can.
It's a decade maybe. Maybe it would take us 10 years, but those needs are today.
Yeah, that's insane. I mean, you just got to think of like the need, so the current need, and then how often will that multiply and also change?
Exactly. If I had those 500 and I could send them today.
Yeah, this is just a snapshot.
In two more years, I'd have another 500.
It's insane.
The opportunities to serve Jesus in the world is amazing. Yeah, I mean, one question somebody might ask is, Ben and Randy, why are you here doing this stupid podcast when there's a needy world out there?
That's true. Fair.
It's like, how about you get off your backside and go, buddy?
Yeah, it's fair. Totally.
Yeah, the scriptures that we sort of jumped to this week. Heather sort of launched us down this path. Mm-hmm. It's in Matthew 9:35 to 38. And you have the scene where Jesus is going throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and affliction. I don't know if you know this, Ben, but about one-third of our people in SMUSA are going throughout villages and cities, healing every disease and affliction.
That's really cool.
About one-third of our people are medical-oriented like Heather.
That's awesome. I didn't know that.
And that what they do is they go and they proclaim the gospel of the kingdom while they heal disease and affliction.
Man, that's cool.
And about one-third of our people are teaching. I guess Jesus was there teaching in the synagogues. And about one-third, anyway, you get the idea that I kind of think of this as what we do. We kind of act like Jesus to the best extent we can. And then it says, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And that's what a lot of this really feels like. It's having compassion for these people because they don't have anybody to tell them how to experience the goodness of Jesus.
Yeah.
And so then Jesus said to his disciples, harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few.
Yeah.
Therefore, we got to work overtime. Everybody needs to double down and work longer every day so we can reach these people. Write new goals. We need to
accomplish
strategy.
New things.
Yep.
Brainstorm. Strategize.
We need
a big
strategy.
Whiteboard.
Lots of money. Go get some money.
More
get
money.
Raise up lots of money. Yeah, you need to have a new vision and mission statement.
Yeah. He didn't say that, by the way.
Oh, that's right.
Before we get carried away.
I hope I don't get stoned now. That was a false prophecy there. Sorry about that.
We went a little long on it.
What it actually says is, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So you're praying to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So I just want to rewind a little bit here, Ben. Let's think back to when you were still...
a wee lad.
No, when you were... that would be a good one too, though. But we won't do that. Think back to when you were assigned by God as a youth pastor.
Yeah.
And that was what he gave you to do. And pretend like SIMUSA is speaking to you in this podcast and asking you to devote 1 minute of your life for the rest of your life to join us in prayer. Maybe we won't say the rest of your life because that's too big. Let's say we're going to ask you to pray 1 minute per day.
Okay.
And we'll provide a 1 minute prayer request every day out of compassion for those people that are harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. What could I say to that Ben that might inspire him to get involved?
You could say that the compassion you have toward your current flock is good, and it's noble. The focus you have, the growth you want to see in your youth group, the kids who... grow up in, whatever families where they don't regularly hear about Jesus, and you could say that that is all very good, and that it's okay to think about the rest of the world and love people that you may never meet. Like, it's okay. It's okay to even sacrifice some of your time, your energy with students and their needs and families, to pray for people who will never sit down in front of a youth pastor and they will never meet a student who's a Christian, who's starting off in a worship band, like that they're good things. But there are people that will never, ever, ever get to be a part of a youth group.
Do you think that that former Ben,
yeah,
if I was to talk to him and ask him whether he wants his students to have compassion for others, do you think he would be, how do you think he would think about that?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, he would, of course, want them to love others, to have compassion, to see a need, to think of others better than themselves. And I mean, honestly, I'd want them to not just go into the world. I wanted them to have purpose in what they were doing. And I didn't want them to just get saved and live a life of void and meaninglessness. You know, I wanted them to really feel fulfilled in what they were doing.
So maybe, I'm just thinking out loud here.
Sure.
If we were going to ask him to, as a first step, mm-hmm. to give us 1 minute a day, mm-hmm. Where we would send him a text at 9:38 in the morning that would take less than 1 minute to pray through with a specific name of somebody who was considering mission. Mm-hmm. And then to say, you know, after you get started in that, maybe your youth group, maybe this could be a rallying point where you help your youth group to start to think through the overwhelming need and value of Jesus Christ by praying for the nations.
Yeah. Oh, I think it would be good. I think I would have latched on to, in hindsight, the idea of like relinquishing the survival mentality. I'm only focused on my people and therefore can't focus on others. There's something about I think community and faith that grows when we stop becoming so worried about the things we're in control of that we want to see it built up. If we kind of relinquish that a little bit and be concerned about the fate of others, be concerned about the lives of others. I actually think that had someone sat down with me back then and said, "You're really focused on being one community, and that's great. And if you'll be concerned about others who don't have community, your community will grow stronger and you'll rely on each other more because you'll realize that what you have, you need to be grateful for and you need to be thankful for it. And you'll want to share that with people who don't have it." Like, I think that sales pitch, I would have said, yeah, 1 minute, you got it. If that's going to change our community from the inside out, you got 1 minute, easy.
It's interesting because you mentioned this word of control, what you have control of. And relinquishing it. And it's interesting because as I was pondering what you were saying, I thought, sometimes I perceive that I have control here at SMUSA, but the fact is I don't. Like the money, if people stop giving, I'm just dead. If God doesn't provide, then I got nothing. The prayers of my financial partners, the people that are helping my wife and I to be here, everything I have is from the Lord. I have actual control over nothing. But I have the illusion of control.
Yeah.
And so if I invest outside of the things that I have the illusion of control over, it probably helps me to realize I don't have control over what I think I have control of.
Yeah.
Your former Ben, just as I think through his opportunity to, with sincerity, dive into the 1 minute of prayer, and then 1 minute of prayer, and then to as a next step, engage with his youth group, and to say, "Hey, let's do this together." As the SIMUSA director, I have to say, I find my sense of compassion for these 500 teams that want an American to come and join their team, for these people that they're ministering to that are harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd, I find that overwhelming. Our SIMUSA crowd we've decided as a group to stop at 9:38 every morning and to pray. And we have this dream that God will raise up 100,000 Americans to join us.
So that's the expected outcome of your prayer, is that that many will join up.
Well, join us to pray 1 minute a day. I'm hoping 100,000 will join us to pray every day.
Okay.
And I'm hoping that that 100,000
That's what I meant.
Will produce 100 that go every year.
Okay.
So, I mean, we're in a position to process and help 100 people go every year. And I just have it in my heart, and I don't, you know, Jesus says where two or three gather in his name, mm-hmm. he's there with them.
Yeah.
And I figure 100,000 is even better.
It's got to be enough.
I don't know. I don't know what God's going to do. The bottom line is, I just think I want to give people an opportunity to pray.
Yeah. Why do you want people to have that specific opportunity to pray for people that they may not know to go?
That's a, I'm a little bit ashamed to say we're in the middle of a podcast and I've been working on this for 4 months and I have no clean answer, but I'll just make
it's
it
okay.
up.
It's okay. Just make something up.
So if I'm totally honest, it's partially pragmatic.
Okay.
You know, Jesus said, if you believe, you can just ask the mountain to move into the ocean and it'll do it. Mm-hmm. And so in part, I feel like if I can find a way to engage the American people in praying, that people really will be sent. So that's one thing, is I actually want people to be sent.
Yeah.
The second thing is, I think this pandemic has caused the American church and American Christians and even American non-Christians to somehow realize that this world is not so much their home.
Hmm. Yeah.
That there's a, that there, if this, if life is worthwhile, there's got to be something beyond this. And so I think that God might be causing a great awakening here in our country. I feel really hopeful that the kind of chaos that we've had in politics, in racial disharmony, dysfunction in the church, in the pandemic, and blah, 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 all the things, I think maybe God is going to give a great awakening. And I think part of his mechanism for a great awakening here in our country is that we see and have compassion for those in the nations that are like sheep without a shepherd. So I think this prayer can be a part of God's plan for a great awakening in our country. It can be part of God's great plan for sending the people that will go and be changed. And it can be part of God's great plan for bringing good news to the nations. So that's what I'm hoping the outcome of this prayer initiative is.
Man, that's a good answer. I'm glad I asked you. I feel motivated. Pray 938. Where can people go? What do we do? How do we do this?
So you just go to simusa.org/pray938 and enter your information there.
Mm-hmm.
My preference, most of my friends, they like the text version.
Oh, yeah.
You just enter in there, you hit text, put in your phone number, and every day you'll get a screenshot that has a real name of a real human being who has actually contacted SIMUSA to say, maybe God is calling me.
And it's easy to pray along with. You don't have to like think of things to pray. Like you can literally just say, Dear Lord, and you read it. And it's really helpful. It's a good guide.
I sure hope God is calling some of the people on this, listening to this podcast, to do that. Can you pray for them, Ben?
Yeah, I will. God, thank you for your compassion on us. We were once all sheep without a shepherd, and you really loved us. And I pray, God, that you help us be moved to love the people around the world that we don't know, the people we can't necessarily see, to pray for them, but to also pray to you as the Lord of the harvest to send workers to your harvest field. And God, we pray that people will really just, start devoting a minute to pray and to feel good about that, to not feel like that's not enough, but to feel that, by your grace, you have opened up a time slot in their lives for them to think about other people and to think about sending workers to hard parts of the world that really, really need workers. So thank you, God, for how you use us, how you create unique tools in which to really just engage people, to pray for others. And yeah, we thank you, God, for what you're going to do with this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, amen.
Have you ever considered becoming a cross-cultural worker? Convinced that no one should live and die without hearing God's good news, we believe that He has called us to make disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ in communities where He is least known. Visit us at simusa.org/connect to talk to someone about serving in mission. This has been an SIM USA production.